good gift givers. Not just being generous, but you know how to pick out good gifts for people. How many people think you're good gift givers? One person willing to admit to it, or two, okay. Now, how many people think they're good gift getters? How many people? Well, not so sure. Let me explain what I mean by that, actually. I want to read to you from an essay by Garrison Keillor. Some of you guys know Garrison Keillor. He has a show called Prairie Home Companion on NPR. Humorist, essayist. And he writes this. A few years ago, someone near and dear gave me a polo shirt for Christmas. And I said thank you, of course, and put it on and tried to look pleased. But what I was thinking was, burgundy? In my experience, burgundy shirts were worn by guys who smoke cigarillos, drive Buick LeSabres, sit in the dark corners of cocktail lounges, and place large wagers on basketball games. I'm more of a wheat type of a person, wheat or antique blue. But I did turn to the giver and say, But did I turn to the giver and say, sorry, I'm an English major, and we don't wear this color? No. I put it in a special section of my closet where I keep never-to-be-worn clothes. Anybody with those? After the three-month Christmas gift cooling-off period required by law, I gave the shirt to a shelter for the homeless. I hope it is being worn by someone. And yet, I can imagine a homeless person being offered this shirt and saying to the volunteer, you wouldn't have something in pale green or aqua, would you? Just because you're homeless doesn't mean you look good in burgundy. Thus, Garrison Keillor begins a fun essay on the perils of Christmas getting. Some of us think the toughest task during Christmas time is to go out and find that perfect gift for that person. You know, the perils of Christmas giving. We all talk about it. We all know it. But there are also the perils of Christmas getting. It is hard to be a good giver, but it is hard. It takes a good person to receive Christmas gifts in the right way. Keillor observes this. He says, a Christmas gift represents somebody's theory of who you are or what they wish you were. Think about that as you open gifts later on tonight or tomorrow morning. And of course, we know how to handle the wildly inappropriate gift from a stranger, but what if you see yourself as a suave dude and a swift intellect, and then one year your wife gives you a pair of singing undershorts that perform O Tannenbaum? That's when you go through a sort of identity crisis. You'd like a gift that aims high, a Walt Whitman, Leaves of Grass, or a ticket to Nepal. Instead, here is a pair of bedroom slippers with lights in the toes so you can see your way to the bathroom at night. So a Christmas gift may not say a whole lot about who you really are, but it tells a great deal about who someone thinks we are or wants us to be. My mother-in-law, if it's safe for me to talk about my mother-in-law, heck, Pastor Sam does it, so I'm going to do it, sometimes would ask us, the kids, to buy specific pieces of clothing for my father-in-law because, well, simply put, she was embarrassed by what he wore. She wanted for him to dress a little bit sharper, a little bit stylish, a little bit younger. She wanted him to be a little bit more stylish. She wanted for him to be a little bit younger. I know, it's really hard to imagine, right? I mean, we're sitting around, you know, spouses, wives, actually trying to change how their husbands dress, you know, impossible. Wow, that doesn't really happen. Sometimes this is subtle. And we might be too obtuse to pick up what someone is saying or wanting us to be through the gifts. But there are other times when it is a lot more obvious and it's more clear. You know, like getting a Jenny Craig membership or a or a new toothbrush or a cookbook from your spouse, they might be saying something. How do you react when that happens? How do you react to that? Gifts have a way of revealing to us what someone thinks we are. I guess nowadays we try to avoid those situations, right, with the proliferation of gift cards. Or the other thing that we do oftentimes, and it's starting to become very common, is that people actually just buy something for themselves and then ask for donations. Why don't you chip in, people say. Reimburse me for the gift that I got for myself. Thanks. The prevailing notion is that we know what we want, so no one can give us a gift as good as we can do ourselves. No one can give you a gift as well as you can give for yourself. At least that is the assumption. And that is, I think, problematic, and I think it's mistaken. Listen, Christmas Eve is when Christians gather to celebrate the great gift. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. And he was precisely not the gift that we were expecting nor wanted. The scriptures tell us that the birth of Jesus was not seen by all as a good gift. He was a burgundy polo shirt. Joseph was thrown into great consternation. His first Christmas present is this from the angels. And they say, you know, your wife is going to be the virgin mother to the Son of God. You'll never be the boss in your house. Merry Christmas. Mary is told by the angels that she'll have a baby out of wedlock, and she is greatly troubled. The words used are greatly troubled, which is probably an understatement of the female emotion, the pregnant female emotion. I mean, the first thing the angels say to them is, "Fear not," which is usually not something that people say when they give you a gift that you like, that you know that you're going to enjoy. They say, "Here, let me give you a box here. Fear not." There were also many in Judea who thought that what they needed was this military genius to raise an army and to run the Romans out. And they wanted this sort of a leader, this sort of a Messiah. They wanted a revolution to overthrow the oppressive Romans. And there were others in Judea at that time who prayed for a gift of some great religious leader, a spiritual leader who would stick with religion too and not get into other matters, not get into the other matters of life. They wanted somebody who would stick to religion and stay out of politics and stay out of other things, stay out of regular life. They wanted somebody who would stick to spiritual life and not life. A bit of inspiration in times of trouble. The spirituality we often desire is supposed to make us feel better, right? In our situation, without really improving it or changing it. But this is not the gift that they got. What they got was Jesus. And here was someone who, as the scripture said, would bear the government on his shoulders, Isaiah 9 tells us. He would be a prince, but a prince unlike any other ruler, any other king. He is a prince of peace, not a prince of power. He would be a disturber of the status quo, one who would call all people to help him turn the world upside down. And he calls us with that calling, even at this Christmas time. Jesus the meddler, Jesus who demands your life, not just your spiritual life. This was the gift that they got. This was the gift that we got, even though it was not quite the gift that we wanted. The problem with the prevailing notion that we know what we want and no one can give us a gift better than ourselves is, well, I don't know about you guys, but I can't be trusted to come up with a Christmas list that is just right. Maybe you've had the experience, some of us maybe had the experience of receiving gifts that you didn't want, but at a later point in time, you find out that it was exactly the gift that you needed. It was just right. One of my college professors, and I apologize if some of you guys remember this story, but it's a classic story. One of my college professors used to tell a story of the first Christmas, the very first Christmas that he spent with his brand new wife, newlywed wife, being raised a very practical Nebraska farm boy. This newlywed husband got his wife what she really needed to survive the cold, the bitter cold and the snowstorms of the Midwest. A beautiful set of snow tires. First Christmas. His wife, of course, was not very pleased by this. I mean, who would? If you had find out, wives, if you found out right now that your Christmas was purchased at Pep Boys, would that make you happy or a little bit concerned? His wife was not pleased and wondered if this foreboded things to come in her marriage. It wasn't until the first winter storm, as she drove past other drivers, as they had to stop and step out into the bitter cold to put snow chains on tires, while she was securely driving by, gripping the road with her brand new set of snow tires, that she learned to appreciate her husband's thoughtfulness. It wasn't the gift she wanted, but it was the gift she needed. Okay. Now, that, you know, I don't want for people to go home tonight or tomorrow as you open gifts and, you know, hey, honey, I know this is not the gift that you wanted, but it's the gift that you need. We need to be a little bit careful about that. Don't use that line, okay? Sometimes others are much better suited than you to know the gifts which are really your heart's desire. Sometimes what you think is your heart's desire isn't. And that's what happened to us at Bethlehem, and the gift of the Christ child. We got our heart's desire. But we got our heart's desire not in the form in which we expected or even wanted. We got a baby, first of all. In this world which worships power and strength and might and success and prestige and fame and force, we received a baby to begin with, a vulnerable, meek, and mild baby. And when this baby grew up, he became for many even less than what they wanted. He spoke biting, challenging words into our hearts personally, but he also spoke biting and challenging words to the establishment, the political establishment, the religious establishment. Whatever was the norm, he let them know where they had gone wrong. He challenged our conventional notions of how God should behave and what God is, and even the idea of a God that we really, really wanted. And he still calls for all of us to step up out of our smug securities of what we think is our own righteousness, toward a life of risk and faith and a journey, as cheesy as it sounds, of adventure, of doing his will in the places that we are. There are many skills which are required to be a faithful Christian. But tonight, we're gathered here, and we're reminded that one of the qualities required of Christians is the ability to be able to be surprised by the gifts God gives us. I know many of you in this past year have received challenges, health, financial, relational, a whole slew of different ways. You have received many challenges and difficulties that you did not desire, and I really want to be careful because I don't want to take away from the difficulty of these things by glibly calling these hard times and difficult times a gift. But you have begun to see it like this. You have begun to see these hard times, that by the grace of God, and the word grace at the core really means gift, that you have begun to see that even some of our worst difficulties and even some of the least but annoying difficulties can be transformed and be seen as gifts. Esther and I were talking just this week about a friend who contacted us and let us know that they were finally pregnant after many, many times of trying, many, many years of trying. And we get these news, we get this information quite a bit because of the difficulties that we've been through. And certainly, I will be the last one to call the pregnancy and the infertility issues. With some of the pains that we still struggle with, even today. But we also know that it is used by God. It is used by God to somehow connect us to others. And He's given us His precious gift to be able to speak words of this small bits of grace to people who are struggling with issues that on a variety of levels is just so hard to voice and put into words. That's a gift for us. I want to talk really, really frankly too on this very intimate night as well, that we know that as a church, that this has not been an easy year for us. We received our share of burgundy shirts. But coming to Christmas, there's an encouragement that I sense and I feel by our time together in the past few weeks, but more so by the power of Christ who transforms us and our hearts and our attitudes and our abilities. And I'm reminded of, you know, one of the few times I got to say nice things about Young. He's not here. I'm reminded of what Young said on the very first Sunday of our church's existence. You guys remember meeting in that hotel conference room? That our church, one of the gifts of being brought into life as an existence as a church like this is that we realize that our church is not about buildings and programs and finances and structures. But the church is the people of God called together to enjoy Him in each other's company as we serve His presence in our world. As we gather together for God's purpose and our lives intermingling. And that is a gift, to remember that once again clearly. Having received the gift of the baby Jesus at Bethlehem, a gift that we did not ask for nor expect, but yet a gift which changed the world in us, we live in the expectation that there will be burdens given to us which may seem eventually to be like a blessing. This night is born to us a child, a Savior whose name is Jesus, God's greatest gift. Though we did not know how to desire and want him, he is the greatest sign and evidence of God's great desire for us. And that's why we come together confronted by this gift, and we turn to each other and say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Go ahead. Don't be. Amen. We're going to spend the rest of the time in kind of a very contemplative mode. And Hannah's going to sing for us. And you can sing along if you want, What Child Is This? As we contemplate the baby Jesus. And then we'll go into a candle lighting ceremony in which I will light one candle and hand that flame off to somebody else. Not like an Olympic flame where just one gets passed around all around, but rather the light and this candle, which I am not joking when I say this light represents the light of the world, Christ who comes to us in our darkness, and we who have been graced to recognize this light as light, become light and shine that light forth into this world. Not because our light is strong or powerful, but because this light is the one that is begun and is Christ.
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap asleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch his keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard. The song on high, the virgin sings.